Robin McCarron.
Why not bring Virgil back? He's in the game. Cross promotion. Bring him back.
Jeff Hawkins.
We have more stories for Virgil than we have half of our mid-card.
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
I don't know, Jeff. I don't know with your explanation how they can't bring him back at this point. This year is coming up, Virgil.
He needs the money.
Hello and welcome everybody to Shake Them Ropes. It is episode 113. Rob McCarron here, Jeff Hawkins there in Los Angeles, California. He apparently did not go to WWE Hell in a Cell tonight.
I had a friend get thrown out.
I saw that. You could not hang out with such luminaries as Max Landis Aubrey Sitterson's wife. How are you tonight, Jeff?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good after watching that show, at least in parts when the WWE Network was not buffering for me, which it did quite often
on
a couple of different devices, which, is one of those things where I didn't start the show until right in time. And then a couple of times I left and came back. I restarted my computer at one point. So okay. I was kind of last in the queue there for people who should get bandwidth for this thing. So I missed a good portion of the main event. Let's just say that.
Oh, okay. Well, it only conked out for me once, and that was right at the beginning of Kane and Seth Rollins.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
So we are live via YouTube, voicesofwrestling.com/YouTube. You can subscribe to the channel for free and get these live pay-per-view and NXT special post shows. We did one before, and this is our second one. Hopefully it goes as well as the first one, and we don't lose connection because we are at the mercy of the Skype gods, the new iOS, or the new Mac OS, and of course, internet. We need internet to work.
Yes.
And that is, not something that worked incredibly well for the pay-per-view portion. So I'm hoping our post-show portion works a little bit better. Jeff, overall, your grade. How'd you think of Hell in a Cell 2015?
I'd give this a solid B, maybe even a B-. Yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed it. Most of the show was pretty good. There's nothing spectacular necessarily about it, but every match, with the exception of maybe the Owens Ryback match, was solid and watchable. It's odd, I didn't look at the clock. That's how I judge how good a show is. I'm not looking at how much time do we have left.
It's true. You're not wondering, like, after the first hour of Raw, where I think 2 hours have passed by.
Yeah.
It was not a situation like this. I mean, in fact, the first hour of tonight's show went very quickly. And we got not only one of the advertised main events, but we got, the surprise return of Alberto Del Rio, who already has merchandise there at voicesofwrestling.com/WWE shop. You can go get the shirts 30% off if you order in the next hour or so. So, there is a lot of stuff to talk about on this Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. Before we go down the entire situation, for those watching on YouTube, we have the YouTube live chat. You can voice your opinions on the show. You can also hit us up at Shake Them Ropes, on Twitter, at CrapGame13 is Jeff. But Jeff, your biggest takeaway, because we're going to talk about what's going on, what the build-up to Survivor Series is, what we saw on this show. Maybe not biggest takeaway, favorite thing on this show. What did you enjoy the most watching Hell in a Cell 2015?
What did I enjoy them? That's actually a good question.
Isn't it? I sometimes can do that.
Well, no, it's not that. It's just it's like one of those things where I have all these, notes and technical things. It's like, well, what did you enjoy, emotional boy? And it's like, what's oddly enough, the thing I enjoyed most, I enjoyed watching Bray Wyatt in that Hell in the Cell match. I really did. I thought he did a great job making Roman look great. And this is the Bray Wyatt I want. I want him to be a cult leader in interviews. And then I just want him to be a vicious, maniacal, homicidal maniac in the ring, as opposed to a sports entertainment star. I want him to be a killer type of upper mid card territory badass. That's what I want him to be. And he was this in this match. I thought I really did enjoy Bray Wyatt in his Hell in the Cell match.
Yeah, I enjoyed the Hell in a Cell match.
I know what you enjoyed most, so go on and get it, because you weren't really caring about what I enjoyed. You wanted to get to, I believe, Ms. Bella.
No, we'll get to Miss Bella, who was amazing and did her best to carry, you know, the bag of weight that is Charlotte. So,
And I think Bray carried Roman in this match quite well. I mean, he bumped like a madman for him.
I would say both people, you know, both guys did their role. And I think, you know, you talked about how this show beat expectations. And I don't think that was incredibly difficult to do, because this is another one of those shows that had the poor build for certain things. But when you looked at it on paper, we did this on our preview show. We looked at it on paper and there was a lot of stuff that was going to beat expectations, because the expectations were so low. You know, first one, we'll just get into it. We'll get into the show. All right.
Okay.
Hell in a Cell, the preview, the 6-man tag. We saw it on Raw. We saw it again tonight. I was dead wrong. I thought, you know, Tyler Breeze might play a part in this, but new WWE main roster superstar Tyler Breeze, what show is he working tonight?
Sacramento.
He was working the NXT show tonight. And breaking news, by the way, Tyler Breeze's contract is still developmental, but I have the breaking news bed too. He's still in the developmental contract, but he is expecting, it's expected that he'll sign the main roster deal tomorrow and he should be done with all these NXT live events for now. Although he is still scheduled for the UK tour. He is still scheduled to go on the UK tour.
Yeah, I'm happy for him.
Yeah, as of now. So we'll see where this program with Dolph Ziggler goes. Because he can make that tour and still, you know, finish up with Dolph after one pay-per-view here at Survivor Series if they go that way. Mm-hmm. There can be some type of team. They don't even have to kickstart a Dolph Ziggler program until the end of December, just based on the pay-per-view that we have up. They could do these matches on SmackDown or Raw, have the multi-man at Survivor Series, have Breeze wrestle at, I don't even know, when is TLC?
December.
Yeah,
probably the second week of December, probably.
TLC, WWE, Wicca, live research here on the show. Because depending on when the show is, he may be on the tour of the UK if he's still going to the UK. It is now, December 13th, so yes, he will probably still be in the UK or very quickly having to get back from it.
Now, let me ask you, son, do you think they show him on Raw or do you think he's purely a SmackDown act?
I think he'll be on Raw.
Okay.
Let's remember the New Day debuted on SmackDown.
No. I'm not saying that. It's just one of those things where it seems like they're going to have a lot of important stuff to get to on Raw. So, I mean, I could see them putting him in there.
But you also got 3 hours. I mean, whenever they were doing the big Raw stuff, Santino was still getting 15 minutes, you know?
And yet they never seem to have enough time. That's the odd thing, is they have 3 hours and yet they never seem to budget their time correctly. I mean, they had 3 hours here and it seemed like they cut Ryback and Owens short, so.
Right. But so you had Tyler Breeze not on the show working NXT, but Dolph Ziggler did get the win here. The team of Neville Stardust, or not Stardust, but Cesaro and Dolph Ziggler got the win. And it seems like we're destined for Cesaro and Stardust going on here, possibly a team at Survivor Series. If you want to do one of these undercard teams, you know, Stardust with two more people.
Yeah. Oh, tell me they're not going to put him in a costume, though. Tell me they're not going to make the Swiss Superman.
Maybe. They've had a really big comic book theme here with Neville and Arrow and now Stardust going on to Cesaro.
Although I did think Cesaro and Rusev looked really good in this match.
Yeah.
I mean, commentary sucked all night, especially sucked in this match.
Yeah.
But Rusev really looked good here, bumping around over the top rope for a big guy, and Cesaro looked great here. And it's odd because I made note that when I went to SummerSlam, I think it was 3 years ago, the Staples Center, you have to understand, it's hard to get a loud reaction in the Staples Center because all the sound goes up, except for like championship games or concerts. LA's always been on the Cesaro train ever since he was in that pre-show match. I think it was against The Miz for the U.S. title, but don't quote me on that. They've always been big on Cesaro, so I was happy to hear that come through on the show tonight.
Yeah. I thought it was an opener. I mean, it was a basic opener that tries to get you excited for the pay-per-view, and it did that. It was interesting how Dolph went out of his way to make sure Cesaro got the limelight at the end. And this is why, if you're wondering how does Vince McMahon think that Cesaro doesn't have it, okay? Cesaro is given the limelight. You know, Neville's out of the ring. Dolph Ziggler brings the sign in for the Cesaro section for Cesaro to hold up. And what does Cesaro do? Shy away to the corner, doesn't take the limelight, the camera cuts away. This guy, as much as fans might react to him, does not have center stage, does not have that it factor, as much as we may like Cesaro. The guy doesn't have that it that Vince McMahon is looking for. Whether you think that's the it that it should be looking for, it doesn't matter. He does not have what Vince McMahon is looking for, and he continually walks away from what Vince McMahon is looking for.
Yeah, he's not being aggressive enough when the spotlight's on him. That's what Vince is looking for. He's looking for someone to kind of challenge that authority, I think. And if you're happy to be there and happy to have a job, you're not going to be that kind of person.
I want to thank everybody who is watching on YouTube live, watching later on YouTube, or listening to the podcast later on through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, voicesofwrestling.com/STR. We are on Twitter at Shake Them Ropes. We have some people watching for the first time in the YouTube live chat. So welcome everyone who's watching for the first time. I'm assuming that's probably a very many of you, as this is the only the second one we've done. Hopefully the stream is working out well. If at any point it does not, let us know in the chat or on Twitter. I'm monitoring the Twitter feed.
I like it better when they're on audio. They're not as ugly.
Right. Okay. Some people are going to be looking at us and, you know, I'm watching the viewership numbers and I'm sure it's just skyrocketing down because who was this guy in the Oregon hat and the Bengals hat? I bet they're both bald. You'd be right. Yeah, we are talking about programs. Now let's get to the big news. The big news that started off this show. Alberto Del Rio was back. Okay.
Yes.
Done with AAA. Some people are asking on Twitter. I saw this a lot, you know, and it's a valid question because he's currently the AAA mega champion, I believe. If this is going to be a dual contract, we have WWE working with guys like Jushin Liger and people wondering if it's New Japan working with WWE. That really wasn't the case in full fledged. They're not working with AAA here. Alberto Del Rio is back. He's done with AAA. He's back in WWE.
You gonna put the belt in a trash like Medusa?
No, he's done.
That'd be awesome.
Yes. I mean, as Mystico, the original Mystico, Sin Cara, Mysticese, Mystic 2.0, and now Caristo. He already changed his name again after his first appearance in CMLL. He is Caristo. But yeah, Alberto Del Rio is not going back to AAA. He's not going to be in Lucha Underground. You would have known that if you followed Alberto Del Rio on Twitter, who a month ago said he was not going to be back for season two of Lucha Underground. He is the U.S. champion. And what was amazing about this is because you have Zeb Coulter coming out to introduce who the open challenger for John Cena is going to be. So your red herring was, okay, it's going to be Swagger. He's going to present some new guy who fills the role that he was previously connected with. But no, in the hilarious, not ironic, but ironic in the way people think ironic means, Alberto Del Rio, in the way he left the company, now back with WWE and being presented by Zeb Coulter, Alberto Del Rio is back in 7 minutes, beats John Cena cleaner than even Kevin Owens did in any of his wins. Alberto Del Rio gets the strong win. John Cena is gone for a little bit. Alberto Del Rio representing the United States as the U.S. champion.
A few things on this. I was having a discussion with a couple people on Twitter about his comeback and the irony thing you were talking about. I don't assume that Alberto Del Rio's exit was based on principle. I think it was mostly based on how he was being treated in terms of wins and losses. And I don't see any change. I don't think he elevates this title. I view him a lot like Randy Orton. He kind of does nothing for me in the ring in terms of he's solid, but he's nothing spectacular. I don't see him having great matches like Cena does.
Sure.
But I didn't see it as a principled walkout due to racism necessarily. I just saw that as the scapegoat. No, it was a mutual decision to leave, wasn't it?
No, he was fired.
Because he was threatening to sue them for the...
That was the mutual settlement after the fact. He was fired.
I forgot. It was a nice surprise. The old school fan in me wants this to be kind of a callback to 1994 Smoky Mountain with Ron Wright, who passed away, and Zeb was the color commentator there at the time. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping he needs an operation, and I'm hoping Alberto Del Rio is the benefactor. That would just be so great for just me. But I found the end. Did you find the ending abrupt for the match?
It was a little bit, especially because, we have the backcracker into the seated super kick.
Yeah.
Which he's used plenty of times, but really not as the finisher.
And they brought that up on commentary.
But you know why that was the case. You know why he didn't use his usual finisher?
Why?
Because his usual finisher is the armbar.
Okay.
And what would that have required John Cena to do? Tap out.
John Cena does not tap out. Okay.
So you had to use the pinfall finish. John Cena can be pinned. He cannot tap out. So you could not have Alberto Del Rio. And Alberto Del Rio, as far as I know, does not have a secondary finisher.
No, and it was odd to me just because it was so clean on like almost the first finishing move, which is something you never see. I mean, the story of the Cena Open Challenge is he kicks out of people's finishers.
Yeah.
I fear that they may be doing a concussion storyline here. I hope they don't. I hope they're classy enough not to.
No, I don't think that's really good. I think you were just in a situation where Alberto Del Rio could not lock in his usual finish because it was John Cena. So we had to come up with something else, and they did the backcracker into the super kick. Okay.
Yeah. And trust me, I like abrupt finishes. I like, you know,
it was
what?
A surprise.
Because, well, to me, it's like, okay, great. So normal moves and transition moves and even, you know, semi-special moves for finishers can pin people. Yeah, let's make that a thing again. Let's make a, you know, a suplex, a pinning maneuver,
right,
if you want to. I'm fine with that. I love the element of surprise in such things. So I was happy as a clam with that one.
So we have a new U.S. champion. The era of the open challenges are over. Unless they want to continue that gimmick along with Alberto Del Rio, I would not be you know, hateful of that.
They're not gonna. There's no way, right? He's a heel. They're not gonna give him make him do open challenges.
But is he going to be a heel?
He's with Zeb Coulter.
Yeah. Zeb Coulter, when he went away, was a babyface, by the way. He was the babyface manager of a babyface Jack Swagger.
Okay. I didn't see him that way here, but that'll be interesting.
No, you're right. They definitely transitioned, and he was a babyface when he was kicked out. Now, the question is, do they keep that? Because you would think this pairing. I mean, Alberto Del Rio he works better as a heel. Zeb Coulter, for what he does, works better as a heel. I wonder if they're going to try and position them as baby faces here coming up. Or maybe he is going to be a heel facing someone like a Dean Ambrose or someone else, because it sure seemed like Dean Ambrose and Roman with the Wyatts is finally completely done.
Well, they're positioning him with the C chant again. So maybe they're going to try and port that over since Daniel Bryan may not be coming back. I mean, I would not be surprised by that. You know, my only knock on this is I wish when Del Rio and even when the Dudleys came back, I wish they'd have some new moves, something new, some new twist to them,
yeah,
as opposed to just playing the hits. Yeah. You know, a new kind of viciousness from Del Rio would have been nice here, I think. That's just me.
So we have the new U.S. champion, the new U.S. champion, done with AAA. We did have Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt in the first Hell in a Cell match. So they had them going up after here instead of first on the show. Went over 20 minutes. Again, I enjoyed it for what it was, but I have also not been at all to the length of some others, a Roman Reigns hater or looking for only the negatives of Roman Reigns. I've been looking at the positives of Roman Reigns. That's the same reason why I see potential. The same reason they see potential in Roman is the same reason why I see potential in a guy like Baron Corbin, where he's not going to be this all-around star that can go to a PWG show and wow everyone. But for what WWE looks for and what fans look for, Baron Corbin has ring presence. Roman Reigns has ring presence. He loses it when he's out there to talk for 10 minutes. But if he's just there to run through a match that he's put together a half an hour before, he does a pretty good job.
Okay.
I mean,
I kind of said what I wanted to say at the beginning when you asked what my favorite thing was. I loved Bray Wyatt here. I thought he was great in this match. I thought he did a fantastic job, even from the first heat spot where he's sitting down and just whacking him with the kendo sticks. Yeah. I thought that was fantastic.
Table spots in this match to the point where at one point I would not have been surprised if the crowd just started chanting fuck the Dudleys. I mean, they went out there.
I was waiting for the table to be set on fire. That's what I was waiting for.
Yeah. And guess what didn't happen with the Dudley boys later on?
No table.
Because you know what? All the tables were broken in this match. You can't do the table match here. If the Dudleys are gonna do tables, when we talked about it on the preview show, if the Dudleys lost this match, most likely they're gone. They're done. Do you still see that as the case for the Dudleys? I mean, they're coming
Let's not move on to the Dudleys just yet.
Well, the Dudleys, as far as the Roman Reigns match,
let me give my Roman Reigns props, because when he has a big match, he also he puts his body on the line. He went through a table. I'm happy, you know, props to him.
Let's not forget one of the best matches on WWE pay-per-view this year, Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan from earlier this year. Roman Reigns has been in some of the best stuff on pay-per-view.
I'm not going to overpraise him that way, but okay.
It's not an overpraise him, just a borderline fact. He's been in some of the best stuff. I'm not saying the best stuff. I'm saying some of the best stuff. Roman Reigns has been included.
No, I agree with that.
He brings it when he has to bring it. I mean, I'm not the WrestleMania match with Brock Lesnar, you know, was going quite great. you remember the Seth Rollins stuff at the end there. Forget the Roman Reigns comeback on Brock Lesnar when Brock Lesnar is stumbling all around the ring and being held up by the ropes.
I think you liked it more than most.
Oh, I don't know about that. I love the ending of that Roman Reigns Brock Lesnar match even before Seth Rollins came in. I thought it was going spectacularly. I almost thought they were saving Roman Reigns by the finish of that Brock Lesnar match. Brock Lesnar in that one night almost made Roman Reigns into a superstar, but then Seth Rollins came in and, you know, the rest of the history. What is falling in your apartment there?
That was my pen. Sorry. I'm just,
I have a pen here too. And you know what? I have a secondary pen as backup in case I throw this one at the wall.
Do I make you that angry at times?
If you say anything tonight that really just grinds my gears, I'm ready.
Well, you do that once a show. So now you can go on to New Day and Dudley's.
Roman Reigns won. So the situation with Bray Wyatt is over.
Okay, you're sure about that?
Based on what happened at the end of the show, I am guaranteeing you that Roman Reigns is done with the Wyatts.
No.
Yes, done.
No, I think he's on Team Taker.
Well, we'll get to that because I don't think there's going to be a Team Taker.
Oh, really? Okay, great.
I don't think there will be a Team Taker. So we'll get to that in a moment. That's tease for the next section here. But we have the Dudleys who lost. So we had talked about on the previous show that if the Dudleys lost, they're probably gone. Do we still believe that?
No, I believe this program continues.
So
no, because Xavier Woods, it's a screw job finish. Yeah.
Was it kind of, it was kind of a screw job finish.
He hit him with a trombone.
Yeah.
Although the fake hitting with the trombone spot may be my favorite spot of 2015.
Yeah.
It just, that thing was so, I lost it. When Kofi did that.
It's funny because, you know, most fans will harken back to, okay, this is just the Eddie Guerrero spot. But think about, Eddie Guerrero really hasn't been doing this for 10 years, you know? What? No, I mean just the length of time that passed. Eddie Guerrero passed away in 2007.
Well, I'm sure he's trying to do it.
2005, I believe it was. November of 2005. No. What I mean is fans have not seen the Eddie Guerrero spot for 10 years.
Okay.
It's been off of TV. Yes, no. We know why it's not on TV anymore, but at the same time, things move on. You haven't seen that spot for 10 years on TV, so they do it again here.
Yeah, it's time.
It's one of those things that pass on and you can do it. But the whole setup for this match was we had the screw job finish at the last pay-per-view. We had the screw job finish at the MSG show. This was supposed to be the one, for whatever reason, when Stephanie McMahon and Story made this match. Mm-hmm. Like, you've escaped, but you're not going to escape at Hell in a Cell. You're going to have the Dudley Boys again. What was stopping them? And as it turns out, nothing. Nothing was stopping the New Day from doing exactly what they did again here.
No, and we don't need this for another month or 2 months, as I fear it might be, until we get to TLC. We don't need this, but it's going to continue because November is sweeps. I think, you know, we're going to get a large helping of the Dudleys and a large helping of the Undertaker.
Because they've done so much for ratings lately.
Vince views them as stars.
I don't know if he views the Dudleys as stars anymore. And based on the positioning of the New Day, I think if you were putting the pendulum on which is the star in this tag team here, New Day or Dudley Boys, right now it's the New Day.
Give me another tag team to elevate against them then.
Well,
the Primetime Players again.
Which
the
one?
Lucha Dragons?
Which Uso is the one that's been hurt?
The left one.
The left arrow one in WWE Supercard is the one that's been hurt. The left arrow one.
I think it's the one that's not married to Trinity.
I'm going to go Jimmy.
Okay.
Jimmy Uso is the one? I don't know. The Uso that's injured is ready to come back. He's been working at the Performance Center for the last month. He's ready to come back.
I can see the Uso coming back. As long as they go through the Dudleys to do it. Yeah. Please put the Dudley, because sports entertainment Dudleys for me do nothing.
Yeah,
they really don't. I mean, they're so, it feels like I'm watching a nostalgia act when I'm watching them. And if I wanted that, I'd go watch the Vaudevillains.
Yeah, the Uso that was hurt has been cleared. I hate that I don't know it, but at the same time, I don't mind that I don't know which one is the hurt one. I think it's Jimmy.
Racism is showing.
No, it's just they're twins.
I'm kidding. I don't know it either.
They're twins. Before, yes. I couldn't tell which one, Nikki or Brie, and now, I mean, you can tell.
So now Jimmy needs Nikki's to get breast, needs to get breast implants. That's all we need, so we can tell who's who.
Or significantly outshine the other in the ring. Because that's how I tell Nikki apart. Do they look different physically? Are they different physically?
Jimmy. No, they're not. They're not at all.
No, except but for the Usos are ready to come back. The Usos are ready to come back, so I can see them, you know, kind of shifting in there, and the Dudley Boys just might be completely... It might be one of those things where how are these guys out of the picture when they keep getting screwed for losses, but at the same time, how is Seth Rollins always moving on from opponent to opponent when his opponents suffer screw job losses? Almost every time, except for tonight, thankfully. So we have the same tag team champions, no tag team champions here. Same thing can be said for the Divas Championship. We have the same Divas Champion after tonight. Charlotte defeats Nikki Bella. It was a little sloppy at certain parts.
A little, but still, it was a lot better than your average Divas match on the main roster.
It was entertaining to watch. It was,
and you know what? The sloppiness to me. I mean, it wasn't as sloppy. I mean, it wasn't as sloppy as that double team spot on Kofi in the tag team match. You know what? My biggest crack on this match was the commentary. The commentary was awful all night, but the commentary on this match especially, overselling the greatness of this match at one point. Okay, it was solid to me. I liked it. Charlotte hit some chops finally. Great. You know, that spot on the top rope that'll probably blow out her knees in 5 years if she keeps doing it. Great. Nikki Bella... doing great on this too. I thought this is the best Nikki Bella match I've seen maybe ever.
Yeah, she went out there in the singles match, given some time with an opponent who wanted to also prove that she belongs. And while she may not entirely belong, Nikki Bella went out there and did what she was supposed to do. And Charlotte kind of busted herself open a bit. I mean, like I said, she was, she was really excited.
Yes.
I mean,
it seemed like they were motivated. I mean, not that it's not professional, but Nikki finally figured out she wanted to avoid a wardrobe malfunction in a match. So she wore something appropriate so she could take more risks. Good for her.
Nikki Bella looks the part, the woman who's in there dominating better. She looks the part and she's trying
to
wrestle.
I'm on the Nikki Bella train.
The part.
Yeah, I'm on the Nikki Bella train now. I think she can, you know, her and Sasha might be a great program, I think.
I don't know if it's the best idea for those two women in particular, and especially Charlotte, to be taking power bombs on the ring apron.
Oh my God, that spot! That had to be one where they went to whoever was agenting and going, you know what, we'd like to do that. The thing was though, I mean, 5 seconds later, you get rolled up into the figure four spot. And it means nothing other than unless they're going to play
on. She was rolled in and
was injured.
Yeah, you're right. She was rolled in and immediately went to the figure four finish after taking that move. So, I mean, it was not the best timing, but on a show where there were some things that were rushed. So, I mean, you kind of get situations like that, but you're right. I mean, we had the apron bomb of all things. Kevin Owens delivers the apron bomb. We shouldn't be having anyone else.
Yeah. I cringed at that.
It's a move where you really have to be on your game 100% to take and feel confident about. So good for Charlotte that she was fine.
But to do it and then to roll into the finish like that where you kind of semi sell it afterwards. I don't know about that. To me, that should be a much more devastating move than what they did to it. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean. The turnbuckle, I will keep wanting to say the buckle bomb, but really the apron bomb was something that could have been used as a finish. But overall, I like the match. I won't, you know, hinder the match and hinder their participation in it because they were rushed on time there towards the end. But Nikki, I thought Nikki was fantastic. I mean, in what right mind do you go from that power bomb on the apron to the figure four right at the end there? But hey, you know, everyone worked their part. Paige comes down and celebrates with Becky and Charlotte, just like they're all friends. And, you know, there wasn't even dissension with Becky and Charlotte. Like, they weren't, like, looking at Paige, like, why are you so excited?
Yeah. Now,
granted, I haven't watched SmackDown, so I don't know exactly what they've been doing on SmackDown with these folks. But every time on Raw, she'll come down and celebrate. But at the same time, Becky and Charlotte know what's up. Tonight, they were just all good friends. They're just forgiving Paige until, like the last pay-per-view, when Paige was all celebratory, and then the next night on Raw, all of a sudden is anti-Charlotte. I'm assuming we're going to get something like this tomorrow. And Paige and Charlotte might be something set up.
Yeah, or Becky might be the turncoat here who beat up Natty. You never know.
So am I going to get a situation where the feedback is if Paige cuts a shoot style promo tomorrow on Raw, where you guys are all praising Paige, even though after the last month you've seen that it means nothing? We're at the same place we were last month. The exact same place.
Rob, I agree with you. I don't think you're going to get that. I think you're going to get one of the other three.
Oh, I 50%, maybe even 70% expect a Paige Pipebomb promo tomorrow for no reason.
Why?
It's a good question, Jeff.
No, I don't, but why? I mean, I think they're going to rehab Paige here. I don't know. I can't. They need to blow this whole thing up, to be honest with you, but I don't think that's going to happen. So I don't know. I think they're leading towards something with Team PCB and Natty and maybe someone else versus the Team Bella. And you know what? Maybe they turn Sasha, it ends up being a 5-on-5 with those five versus Team Bella and the other two and Team Bad. I mean, that's what it feels like, but I don't know.
But so far, I thought the worst match so far we've seen was Big E and Kofi against the Dudley Boys. I've liked everything else that we had so far tonight. Now, The cool thing about this YouTube live streaming is in the live stream window, I can actually run an ad if I want to, like a 2-minute ad. Now, I can do that if you need to take 2 minutes to go kill that dog that's barking.
I'm sorry. No, there's two dogs that are arguing and they never shut them up. I'll turn off my mic when you're talking.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I mean, I'm just hearing these dogs.
I'm not Rich Craich. I mean, I can't just look and like throw like a T-bone at it or something like that or shoot it.
Yeah, I wish someone would throw a T-bone at me. I would love it. But we have confirmation in the chat room that it is Jey Uso is the one that is hurt. Just to finish. Okay. Just to finish.
Thank you.
This is the beauty about the live chat. People can confirm things for us.
I was not being sarcastic about that. I'm getting angry at that some lady won't shut her dog up outside here because this is what keeps me up at night when I have to be up at 2 a.m. for work.
Yeah, that's awful. That's awful, man. Yeah. We have Nicholas, and Craig is wrong. I've been a Paige fan. I haven't been a fan of what they've done with Paige's character so far in WWE, but I like Paige. The problem is Nicholas. I like Paige. Nicholas in the YouTube chat.
No.
Nicholas in the YouTube chat is saying Rob is doing what my therapist calls failing in advance with the Paige angle. No, I'm not. This thing happened a month ago. It has failed, and it has caused no change.
Rob needs a therapist.
This is not failing in advance. This is failing for the last 2 years with Paige, who has always had the same character. The same character where she's wishy-washy. She makes friends, loses the friends by her own means, and then tries to get the friends back. She doesn't know what side she's on. She's not crazy, but she's wishy-washy. She's flaky, if you will. And a lot of the people's problems with the Divas division is that most women are portrayed this way sometimes, where they are flaky women. They don't know what they want. They're not here to reach any goals. Nikki Bella was the champion. Her goal wasn't to defend the title. It was to reach a arbitrary number of days as the champion, but not necessarily defend that championship. The Divas Revolution started with the goal of unseating the Bellas, but instead of trying to unseat Nikki, they were wrestling in six-man tags all the time. So the whole division does not have a clear motive for anything. But right. Paige's character has always been wishy-washy. It was wishy-washy with AJ. It's wishy-washy now. You don't know what's going on. And if she were to all of a sudden turn on Charlotte and become serious, how is anyone supposed to actually believe in it? How is anyone supposed to believe what you see 1 week is going to happen the next week?
No, she becomes the big. She becomes the big show of the Divas division. She becomes Lex Luger and the Big Show. Her turns don't matter. Now, see, what I think they're going to do is they're going to tease Paige and they're going to have Becky turn. If anybody.
Yeah. We have Tyler in the chat is saying that his stream is buffering and it is a live YouTube. Now, once the stream gets to YouTube, YouTube handles how you guys are watching it. So hopefully it should be clear. If you are buffering, just reload the page and hopefully it should become better for you. Because so far, luckily, it appears in the 35 minutes we've been running, there has not been a loss in our stream, at least. It at least has not died, which is always my biggest worry.
So we have a strong stream is what you're saying.
We have a very strong fluid stream that is not breaking up. So we should be okay. I believe what we're seeing.
We're 13 and we're making pee jokes. Okay, good.
Oh, is that what you were doing? Because I'm trying to be real. I'm professional broadcaster guyer.
You certainly are not.
Before we move on to the next match, prediction for the World Series, Jeff.
Mets, 5.
See, I have Mets in 6.
Okay.
I think the pitching's just going to prove a little bit better there. Now, an ad ran. We're going to talk about the Undertaker match, so I don't want to go into it too depth. But right here was your push that Survivor Series is going to be the 25th anniversary of the Undertaker. Mm-hmm. So the Undertaker will be wrestling Survivor Series. Now, before we get into what he might be doing at Survivor Series based on the end result of tonight's main event, doesn't it seem a little strange that we're getting the Undertaker on 3 straight pay-per-views at a time where he's really not usually around? My question to you, Jeff, and my question for the chat, if anyone in the chat wants to chime in, or if you're listening on podcast later, hit us up at Shake Them Ropes and let us know your thoughts. Does it feel like the Undertaker is wrestling so often now, not because he's physically able, but because he wants to get all his last run in because WrestleMania might be it?
No. I think he's wrestling so much because Vince asked him to. Him being on, I think he's going to be on Raw all throughout November, or at least for a couple weeks in November, because the two biggest months of television are November sweeps and February sweeps, or May sweeps, my fault. May sweeps in November. November is a pivotal month for ratings. And I think that, I think when they made the change to quote unquote blow off the feud in Hell in the Cell, as opposed to waiting until the next WrestleMania, they're going to plan on building to the 25th anniversary of the Undertaker here. And that's why.
Now you talk about sweeps. Now the problem I have with the whole conversation about sweeps for WWE is they don't sell their own ads. USA sells the ads for WWE. So WWE is not really in the position of putting out the best rating possible during football. They're trying to not die, but they are not responsible for the ad rates. USA is.
No, but they're responsible for getting ratings.
We never hear this stuff in May.
Ratings determine ad rates. So yeah, no, you don't usually.
I think the Undertaker will wrestle at Survivor Series. I expect him to be on Raw tomorrow, but I expect that to be the only Raw he's on until the go home.
Really? Okay.
Well, he was doing this big match with Brock Lesnar, and he wasn't on Raw.
I don't think he's going to be on Raw tomorrow. I think they're going to tease the Wyatts have taken him somewhere, and then in the next few weeks he escapes from the magical happy land that he's at, and then he comes back and he destroys Bray on a Raw to a giant pop that nobody's expecting, or not giant pop that nobody's expecting, but to a pop because nobody expected him to be there for the week because they thought he was gone. And then that happens maybe in the second week of November.
Yeah, we could do a number of things. Now we also have the Undertaker who stole, or the Wyatts who stole the Undertaker. Well, let's wait until the main event here.
Let's wait until the main event.
We have other matches to get to, including who can also be a part of this Undertaker discussion later. The Demon Kane going up against Seth Rollins for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. This was Kane's world title shot. All right. Based on the end result of this, Seth Rollins beating Kane clean, having a hard-fought win. I mean, Kane, who is always built up as this big, tough guy, this demon, this guy that shouldn't be beat so quickly. He's a tough one to beat for anyone. WWE built him up this way. And Seth Rollins was doing everything he can to finally cement a strong win against Kane. This was one of those strong wins for Seth Rollins that we've been begging for in his title run. He gets the strong win here. I think the Kane program with Seth Rollins is done. Based on this, they're not dragging this out anymore, even 1 week anymore. It's done here tonight.
No, I think he moves on to the Undertaker program. Yeah, Kane.
I believe Kane's going to do that too. But do you think about this? We have Twitter feedback. We were getting Twitter feedback. I was seeing others post this on Twitter too. I mean, this was not necessarily a common or prevalent thought, but something that more than one person had stated, that they hate that Seth Rollins had to look weak against Kane, or that Kane had to be protected so much on this show, where I don't feel like it was more protecting Kane versus making Seth look strong by really having to work and successfully defeat Kane, who has always been promoted, at least in this program, as a tough guy.
Well, I think Seth Rollins' war against the elderly continues.
Yeah, but Kane's not old, right?
He is old.
In story, Kane's not old. He's this tough veteran in WWE. It's the same reason why you would never say Ric Flair was old when he was wrestling The Undertaker at WrestleMania 19 or 18. You wouldn't say Ric Flair's old. He's a strong veteran.
Yes. That Spanish announce table won't sell for him. Let's quit doing that spot unless we know the pins are out, kids.
So my question is there anything wrong with Seth Rollins winning against Kane in this way where he, you know, Kane was surviving everything until the very end where Seth Rollins just was too much for... I mean, the story here is Seth Rollins was too much for Kane. That was the story here. He's too much for Kane.
No, that's a fine story. And he should be too much for Kane. He should be too much for Sting. That's fine. As long as we're not going to continue giving him these old opponents. My fear was they're going to give him Undertaker in the Survivor Series.
Well, that's the difference
there, I'm happy about that, but I still think Hunter's on the horizon. So, you know, Seth Rollins doing well against the AARP crowd.
That's
what I want to see. I want to see Seth against a young up-and-comer and look strong against them to prove his dominance.
We're going to see that because next up on the docket for Seth Rollins is Triple H. Young up-and-comer. Actually, I don't know if that's next for him. I could honestly see Dean Ambrose being next for him. I could see Roman Reigns being next for Seth Rollins. Roman Reigns has nothing else to do.
They may tease Sheamus again in his terrible new entrance.
And that's
did you see that, by the way?
Well... No, I didn't watch Sheamus's entrance closely.
Oh my gosh. They now have like a giant white flat light come up on him, so he looks almost translucent.
Oh, okay. That's cool. I mean, that's cool, I guess. Seth Rollins, I was going to make this super awesome point about the WWE title picture, and then you had to talk about Sheamus being white, and now I'm lost. I lost it.
Okay.
This is what's called Bad Radio by Jeff Hawkins.
No, it's called, you really have good points anyway, so let's move on.
I rarely, but I have some every once in a while.
You have them. So, yeah, saying there's a chance.
The WWE title picture. Oh, my question was, and it relates to Sheamus. It relates to Sheamus. At no point on the show ever did I thought Sheamus was cashing in.
No.
That's rare. That's rare sometimes.
Yeah. I was not looking up to see it. And after,
Matthew asks on Twitter, at Six Gun Gorilla, when is the last time Cena and Nikki Bella both lost on the same pay-per-view? I would go out on a limb and say that's probably never happened.
I'm going to say tonight.
I mean, outside of tonight, yes. Well done, Jeff. Yes. Catch Billy Hawk on tour at a town near you.
I'll go with the easy answer.
Just based on how Cena never loses and Nikki really doesn't get singles matches on pay-per-views very often, I wouldn't doubt if this has never happened. Did Nikki wrestle on the pay-per-view Elimination Chamber?
But she was champ.
If she did, she couldn't have lost, right? Because she was the champion. I bet this has never happened. I bet it has never happened before.
That's fine. Let's not read too much into that. The power play stuff right now. Yeah. I mean,
Chris on Twitter says, obviously the future for Kane is to come back on Monday as the director of operations, Isaac Yankum.
Unabom. Yeah.
Just run through.
I think it becomes where Kane goes on the long journey to find his brother and they come back as the Brothers of Destruction.
We have comments here, you know, kind of going in what's next for Rollins. A lot of, you know, Asuka is next for Rollins. Johnny Gargano, crap game next for Seth Rollins.
Captain CrossFit would kick my ass.
Someone wants a triple threat between Seth Rollins and Tom Lawler and Celia Bloom. So you got a couple of different things that are going on there. Del Rio is the U.S. champion. Could he be next for Seth Rollins? Probably not, but there's a lot of there are a lot of options. Like there was nothing where we know what's happening next for Seth Rollins. We don't know. They can go a number of different ways tomorrow.
That's what Raw is for tomorrow, is to set the table.
And let's face it, he might be in some type of Survivor Series match at the end of the day too. We may not get a title match at Survivor Series. So we will see. We had Kevin Owens and Ryback for the Intercontinental Championship. Just went a couple of minutes, really. What was it? 5 minutes, 6 minutes?
5:36, I think.
In the proverbial death spot on the pay-per-view, Kevin Owens and the Ryback. Kevin Owens retains his championship.
This match was terrible.
It wasn't great.
I thought, yeah.
It wasn't great. It was just kind of, I mean, if it wasn't the Intercontinental Championship match, and if it was in the late 90s, where I think they were more susceptible to doing this, it's almost a match where they could have just cut it. mm-hmm. said this match will take place tomorrow on Raw. We couldn't do it, especially now in the network era where you can actually do something like that, where, you know, if it's time constraint, instead of giving us a 5-minute match, maybe give it on Raw. I almost believe that they will rematch this match tomorrow night. Give it 10 to 15 minutes. I think they'll do it tomorrow on Raw.
They're not on pay-per-view, are they?
They're on pay-per-view on cable systems, not on DirecTV or Dish.
Okay. But they're on I was going to say, well, why do they need to cut things for time constraints if it's their own damn network?
Yeah, they're on pay-per-view still.
If they're on pay-per-view, they can't do
that. It's the same reason why NXT has commercials in the middle of matches. It's on other outlets that are outside of the WWE network. You're not gonna get, you know, strictly WWE network stuff. But they could do this match tomorrow on Raw. It's one of those things where they could have said, I'm sorry we couldn't deliver this, but due to time constraints, we had to eliminate it. Instead of giving you a 5-minute match and shorter time for the main event, you know,
yeah,
I would be okay.
Because neither of these guys look good in this short, you know, rush to it, unless it's just a beat each other up like a fight type thing. But that wasn't it.
Yeah, it wasn't that great. So we had a new candidate for worst match of the night. But overall, mm-hmm. first 2 hours, I was entertained by the show. It went pretty quickly,
mm-hmm.
almost too quickly. I was trying to get stuff ready for the show here tonight. And I'm like, man, I just wish there was more time because, you know, I started working here towards the beginning of the pay-per-view for getting like the graphics and the live stream, and I had to make sure all the wires were connected, and because I updated my Mac OS. So what that does is it changed all the settings in Skype, which is why you couldn't hear me when I started. Are you going to go kill the dog?
I may.
You look like you're about to go kill the dog.
That dog may die tonight.
You can throw
animal lovers, you don't understand. You just don't. I mean, the thing is, people with dogs like this, they're the type that let their kids run around and say they'll run it out of their system, and they never do.
Yeah.
Stop crying. No, he'll get over it. 3 hours later. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yep. And Craig, who's in the UK, is mentioning, you know, it's available on pay-per-view in the UK. It's on pay-per-view in India. You know, WWE Network just got clearance in India, which is a pretty big deal. The stock jumped up this week, but they're still on pay-per-view there. So, I mean,
trying to undercut that TNA India money.
Yeah. Trisha in our chat says, I mean, she forgot all about the Kevin Owens Ryback match because if you blinked, you did.
Mm.
Yeah, you were going to forget all about it. Trisha asks, you know, I update my Mac OS and I do these different things to prepare. What did Jeff do to prepare for tonight's Shake Them Ropes other than watching Hell in a Cell, which I believe is probably the only thing you did to prepare?
Logged into Skype, gave thumbs up when I could hear you, rolled and brought my clever and sexiness.
Yeah. We're going to get to the main event here in just a moment. Now, did you end up watching WWE Breaking Ground today? Like
I did. I watched it this afternoon.
So I watched Breaking Ground too. We're going to talk about Breaking Ground on Tuesday, and it might tie into a little bit of our other NXT discussions. So Tuesday on a regular Shake Them Ropes, if you're someone who's viewing us for the first time or listening to this show for the first time, we do a regular episode of Shake Them Ropes every Tuesday, sometimes Wednesday, but very rarely. It's always every Tuesday. We're available on iTunes. You can go to iTunes and search for Shake Them Ropes or go to our show notes page on YouTube or voicesofwrestling.com, and we have the link in there for iTunes. We appreciate if you subscribe via iTunes to leave us a rating and review. Very quick to do so. Doesn't cost you anything to do so. Very nice of you also. But we have to get to this main event.
Rob, I stretched to get ready for this show. Are you happy now?
No, because I question what you stretched and I don't want to know.
The truth.
The main event of the show. Hell in a Cell. Brock Lesnar. The Undertaker. And for Offen in the chat room there, who's been dying to know who won the main event, who's been asking all show long, the winner of the main event.
The fans. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Brock Lesnar defeats The Undertaker. So in visual victories, Brock Lesnar is 3-0 in this current run with The Undertaker, tapping out The Undertaker in the last match.
No.
Visual victories.
No.
Visual victories, Jeff. Everyone always talks about visual pinfalls and visual victories. He is 2-0 officially, 3-0 in your hearts, as he made Undertaker. He pinned him tonight. So the final stretch was interesting. Undertaker tries to kill Brock Lesnar, rips apart, you know, was it Brock who started with the ripping of the mats? It was Brock who started.
Yeah, he found a tear in it. It's kind of shades of what AJ Styles and Sting did in, or was it Bully Ray and someone at
Sounds like Bully Ray, but I don't remember anything
Bound
TNA.
Bound for Glory a couple years ago when it was in San Diego, they did kind of the same thing.
Imagine you calling back something from TNA that really no one knows. I mean,
There's very little stuff I can call back from TNA, but that's one of them.
Yeah, so this was part... I question it because my buffering really took place here at the end when they started ripping, I wasn't really sure who started it, but Brock Lesnar starts ripping the mats because he's trying to put away The Undertaker, right? So he is ripping the mats off the ring. You have the exposed wooden boards under the padded mat in the wrestling ring. He starts ripping this apart. You have The Undertaker deliver a choke slam to Brock Lesnar on the wooden panels. You have him then deliver a tombstone to Brock Lesnar on the wooden panels. And Brock does not go down. And then Brock gives The Undertaker an F5 after calling back to the last match, after the low blow.
Yes, it sounds like you know what happened in this match, despite your buffering.
Well, it buffered, but the main thing I missed was who started it.
Okay.
And then I can kind of tell what was happening based on what was going on. And then it kind of went dark after the match, so I had to go on my phone, which is where I saw the ending angle. I almost pulled an NXT takeover.
I almost pulled the takeover as well. I'm glad you said that. I thought it was almost over. Pulled that as well. Yeah, I almost said, well, that's it. Click. And then dan. It's like, okay, well, here we go.
I thought it was over. So the low blow happens. Little payback at the Undertaker. The crowd starts to they boo Brock Lesnar a little bit. They boo Brock Lesnar a little bit. The Undertaker falls to the F5 on the wood panels. Brock Lesnar gets the 1-2-3. So Brock Lesnar gets the win, the strong win against the Undertaker in Hell in a Cell. So that program is over.
Let me ask you something before we move on to what happened post-match. Did you like the callback to the ball shot by Brock?
Yeah. Because at this point, and especially if you're going to portray Brock as the heel, which they did for the last week, right? Brock Lesnar was not going to take the chance to lose in a fluke to the Undertaker again. Because Brock knows he's the bigger guy. He's the tougher guy. He's the stronger guy. And he should win. So in this match where it's legal, here's the difference. It's legal in this match. It wasn't legal in the other one. So Brock is going to use the rules.
No, and I like that. I liked that too. I was afraid they're going to do a blood loss type of thing so that, you know, someone didn't get officially quote unquote pinned or whatnot. It was a stoppage due to.
Real surprise there. Brock Lesnar bled in a cage.
Yeah. And the camera was catching him blading too.
Hey, we all knew it was going to happen. Well, Brock Lesnar gives no fucks. I mean, he's not getting fired. He's not
And Undertaker also. So, yeah.
Yeah. So we had the Brock Lesnar strong win. And then, like the Undertaker coming out and stealing Viscera from the Royal Rumble, we have the Wyatt family.
You get on me about, okay, wow.
What? Everyone remembers when Mabel came back suddenly in the Royal Rumble and was stolen by the Undertaker. Everyone remembers that. From 1997?
It's burned in my brain. That's how much okay.
But anyway, the Wyatts come out. They are the new, you know, evil powers in WWE. They come out and they steal the Undertaker.
Good.
Remember, they stole Kane once.
Yeah, that didn't last too long, did it?
It didn't last too long. Kane just came back.
Yeah.
Beat up like Mark Henry. Wearing the mask.
Yeah.
But here's your callback to what they're going to do at Survivor Series, which I think is what they're going to do. Okay. The Wyatt family stole Kane once, and Kane just returned. Mm-hmm. They steal the Undertaker. Undertaker will probably just come back, right?
Hope not. I hope they actually do something with it as opposed to, he's back.
I think this is your way of not having him appear on Raw. You might be right. He may not be on Raw tomorrow. He may not be back until the go-home show. I don't know. But here is your match for Survivor Series in the main event. Because you can do Survivor Series matches with other things, like the tag teams or the Cesaro and Stardust factions, if you will, or someone else. You can do other Survivor Series. You can do a Divas Survivor Series, right?
Okay.
The main event of this pay-per-view. And everyone's going to bitch about it. I just know they're going to bitch about it. The Undertaker and Kane versus two members of the Wyatt family. If I had to guess, I would guess Luke and Bray.
So you don't think this is going to be 4-on-4?
I don't believe, because who would be the other two? You think Roman and Dean Ambrose is the other two?
Yes, or Sting and Roman. But yes, I think Dean and Roman.
I don't think Sting's coming back. And a little backstage segment. Dean Ambrose was on this pay-per-view. He didn't wrestle. in a little backstage segment for about a minute, he was saying, congratulations, Roman, on ending this with the Wyatts. He made it very clear they were done with the Wyatts.
Until the Wyatts attack Dean tomorrow.
Yeah, but they just got the Undertaker. Why do they need to attack Dean? It's over. I'm telling you, it's over.
Okay. I'll believe you until I see it.
I will eat my hat.
Don't say that, because I want to watch that. We're going to YouTube that if that happens.
I actually have to save this hat because...
Proof of hat.
I have to save this hat because this is the hat I'm going to eat if CM Punk ever fights in UFC.
Okay.
Because that's not happening either, by the way.
You may be eating two hats.
Eating two hats, and that is not going to be the most appealing thing to eat.
No, unless you're watching, then that'll be appealing.
Who raise of hands here in the YouTube stream wants to watch me eat my hat? No one does. You guys like me so much. You don't want me to lose. You guys are with me, right? Yeah. Everyone's with me, Jeff.
Rob, you're so much more entertaining when you're miserable.
Team Rob is going strong here. I mean, yeah. Yeah. Team Rob is going.
You and that dog. That's
that dog is going strong, but, Grammarian F4W says, rest in peace, Rob's hat.
So you really think they're not going to do a 4-on-4? They're going to just take two of the Wyatts and put them against the Brothers of Destruction? Or 2-on-4?
Or four of the Wyatts. They could go 4-on-2. They can go 4-on-2. And it may not end up being the main event. I think Brock Lesnar's not working Survivor Series.
No.
And unless you do Seth Rollins and, say, Roman as a main event, what do you got? You got The Undertaker and Kane as a tag team. Well, because Kane fits in here because Kane is the good guy now, okay? He's a good guy. Mm-hmm. He was stolen by the Wyatt family before, and he's Undertaker's brother. 25th anniversary of The Undertaker. That's what they're selling this on. They're selling it as it's a special event. Whether that works or not is not for me to say. It is for me to say. I don't think it'll work, okay? Advertising this as the 25th anniversary of The Undertaker, which is probably not even accurate because we know WWE and anniversaries, they don't really know what that word means. Okay. I think that's what they're going to try to sell this pay-per-view on, the 25th anniversary of The Undertaker. It's about The Undertaker. Like Rock's return at Survivor Series was about seeing The Rock in the ring, and then it ended up being Rock and Cena versus Miz and R-Truth. Like, that's your main event. It's not about seeing the main event. It's about seeing Undertaker and Kane team up for what could be the final time. It's my call.
Okay. That's fair enough. I was thinking about the Roman Dean thing. I thought of an alternative storyline, but it just makes no sense. I thought the Authority may somehow get involved here to save the show because, hey, we have this 25th anniversary plan. We need something. So they somehow find a way to, we'll talk Roman into fighting with Kane and The Undertaker, and we'll talk our champion into fighting with Kane again.
Our stream must be broken or buffering or the sound is not working right because there's a large number of people in the chat room who are saying that they want to see me eat my hat. So I don't think they really understood what I was saying about how people should be on my side here. So
nobody's ever going to be on your side, ever.
Yeah.
In any argument, ever.
A commenter saying that Survivor Series match was the last time The Miz has ever been a pay-per-view main event, which, you know, Miz is just gone now. Miz every once in a while is hosting his TV show, but... We talk about Eva Marie being transitioned out of the ring at some point in the future, possibly.
I don't think she is. I think she's going into the Bayley program.
Look at Miz. Miz is a global ambassador, but he hasn't really been in the ring lately, too. Now, let's talk about that Eva Marie thing very briefly, okay? Some people say conflicting reports. Dave Meltzer was out there talking about how Eva Marie is getting groomed for a title shot. And then later on, he said Eva Marie is being looked at for possible outside-of-the-ring roles. And so Eva Marie... who very well could get a title shot at the next takeover. Those are not conflicting pieces of information, people. She very well could be groomed for a title shot, and then after the fact, they look for outside of the ring roles for her. They are not conflicting pieces of information.
Can we save this for Tuesday? Let's just get through the pay-per-view and get out of here.
We can very well save this for Tuesday. I just wanted to make that mention. What we are going to talk about on Tuesday also is the NXT conversation. Whatever the big things happen from Raw, we'll talk about whether Undertaker showed up or not. You can catch the show, voicesofwrestling.com, or on iTunes and other platforms by searching Shake Them Ropes, or go to voicesofwrestling.com/STR, or in the description here on this very YouTube video, I have all the links for how you can find us. If it's all the same to you, I very well appreciate if you subscribe via iTunes, because that helps us in the iTunes rankings on the little categories there. So it helps others see us. So that would be very nice of you. Andrew Ross says, you know what, Rob, I'm on your side. I appreciate that. I appreciate those who are on my side.
You're just going to read comments that support you.
I find it unfortunate for you all that you are likely on the wrong side.
Team Jeff, Team Hawkins.
Grammarian says, it is the 25th anniversary of the 1990 Survivor Series. Yes, in this case, they are right. It is the anniversary. What I was referencing, if you forget, is the 25th anniversary of WrestleMania at WrestleMania 25, when it was the 25th annual WrestleMania, not the 25th anniversary of WrestleMania. But hey, short-term memory. Short-term memory. What else we got to talk about on Tuesday? We have Dean Malenko and Rey Mysterio
from Great American Bash 1996.
Yes, we're going to talk about that in match number 58 on our top 100, I believe it is. You can catch all of the top 100 and what show they were on at voicesofwrestling.com/str/top100. Just go to voicesofwrestling.com, click on the links, follow us at Shake Them Ropes. Anything else you want to get to? Before we leave, I want last thought, Jeff. You will have the last word tonight. If it is a 4-on-4 Survivor Series match, and it cannot be Dean or Roman, who would they put in there with The Undertaker and Kane? And I ask this for a reason.
You want me to be serious or make a funny?
I want you to, seriously, who would they put in there? And I ask you this, and I'll tell you why I ask you this. Because, really, there's not a lot of people on the top that you can put in there.
No, there's not.
You'd have to find some mid-carder that might start a feud on Raw with the Wyatt family that they can just possibly try to give the rub to, like a Cesaro and a Neville or something with The Undertaker and Kane.
Cannon fodder. That's not a bad call.
Yeah. But at the same time, I think that goes to the point why I think they would not do a 4-on-4. They don't want to devalue The Undertaker's appearance by putting him in a meaningless 4-on-4 Survivor Series match.
And with Cena and Orton out, that limits things. So if I can't put Roman and Dean, I can't put Cena and Orton. How about the Dudleys?
Yeah, yeah. I guess you could do the Dudleys. They got to start something with the Wyatts tomorrow.
Yeah.
They very well could. You might be
and
right.
They're a brawling team. I'd much rather see the Dudleys as brawlers than doing that was up crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're in the chat room or watching on YouTube or watching on YouTube later, please like the video, share it with others, let people know about Shake Them Ropes here, talking WWE and NXT. For all the podcast listeners out there, thank you for listening on the podcast version. We hope you like the show. Subscribe to us, and we'll see you next time on Shake Them Ropes.